Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This morning I want to share with you the title of our lesson, Not Ashamed of the Gospel. You know, in these two short verses present one of the greatest summaries of the gospel ever written by man. In these verses, Paul gives a clear declaration of God's power and purpose in the gospel message. Now, Paul's statements about the gospel begin in a strange fashion. First, he tells his readers in verse 15 that he is ready to preach to you that are in Rome. Then, out of the blue, he tells them that he is not ashamed of the gospel, that he is ready to preach. The question is, why would anyone be ashamed of a message as powerful, profound, and needed as the gospel? These and other questions we will answer. But first, we have a great privilege and honor, and that is to go to our God in a word of prayer. So at this time, let us humble ourselves to do this. What a privilege and honor it is to be here before God and to worship Him together in spirit and in truth. And it doesn't matter the language and our background. What it matters is that we love God and we praise Him and we gather together and we are one in Christ. And what a wonderful and beautiful family we have in Him. Not ashamed of the gospel. We were saying that Paul's statements about the gospel of Christ begin in a strange fashion because, you know, in verse 15, he tells the brethren in Rome that he is ready to preach the gospel that you that are in Rome. And then, out of the blue, out of nowhere, he tells them that he is not ashamed of the gospel, that he is ready to preach. Now the question, of course, is why would anyone be ashamed of a message of the gospel as powerful, profound, and needed as the gospel? Well, brethren, a little understanding of the culture in which Paul ministered will help us to understand why some were ashamed of the gospel and to preach it. Let me give you four reasons why some were ashamed of the gospel back then. First of all, the moral condition of that day. You know, Nero was the emperor of Rome. He was a wicked, degenerated man. The city of Rome was a cesspool of sin and wicked living. The gospel Paul preached with its demands of repentance, holiness, and godly living was completely opposed to everything Rome stood for and represented. The second reason why some were ashamed to share the gospel of Christ was that the fact that Paul was a Jew. Yes, Jews were considered by many to be a subhuman race back then. They were to be despised, mistreated, and enslaved. The gospel was a message that originated in and rose out of a Jewish background. Some Jews would have been hesitant to share such a message with non-Jews. And let me tell you, many non-Jews would not have listened to a Jewish preacher preach about a Jewish Savior. Number three, the third reason why some were ashamed of the gospel back then is that the message Paul preached was incredible and nearly beyond belief. Think of it. The Savior Paul preached was a male member of the despised Jewish race. He was said to be the Savior of men. He also claimed to be the Son of God, and he even claimed to be God and man at the same time. His death was surrounded in shame because he died on the Roman cross, the very symbol of shame. Yet, in dying, that shameful death, Jesus claimed to have died for lost sinners. If that wasn't enough, Paul preached that this same crucified Jesus arose from the dead the third day. To many people, the claims of the gospel were just too bizarre to believe. The gospel is a difficult message for a lost and prideful world to accept. And let me tell you, things haven't changed much. The last reason why some were ashamed to share the gospel back then, it was that everywhere Paul went preaching the cross, he was ridiculed, cast out, imprisoned, or treated cruelly. Yes, the Apostle Paul, he had been imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Berea, mocked in Athens, and he even was called a fool in Corinth, stoned in Galatia. But yet, Paul remained eager to preach the gospel in Rome, the seat of contemporary political power and pagan religion. Many would not have been able to endure that kind of shame. Now that we have all these things in mind, it is easy to see why Paul would want to be clear about his commitment to the gospel message. He would want these people in Rome to know that they were hearing from a man who believed his message and was willing to praise the price to share it with everyone. Now that we know why some would have been ashamed, the question is, why Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Why he wasn't ashamed? After all, many in our day are ashamed of the gospel message. What did Paul know that made him keep on preaching the hated gospel for the glory of God? What was it about the gospel that just invigorated the apostle and kept driving him around the world preaching the same hated message? The answer to those questions are found in the truths Paul reveals about the gospel. In these verses, the verses that we just read in Romans 1, 16 and 17, these verses remind us that we have a gospel to be proud of. I want to preach on the thought, not ashamed of the gospel. I want you to see that the message of Jesus Christ and his salvation is a message that we should share with everyone, everywhere, without shame or fear. Let me share with you what I call the marks of the gospel that make it a message of which we need not be ashamed. First of all, the gospel is marked by sovereign power. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Paul tells us that the gospel is the power of God. You know, the word power comes from a Greek word, dynamis. And this word, what it means is might, energy, force, and strength that dwell within God. Listen, God could have revealed his power against sin in any way that he chose. He could have wiped men from the face of the earth. He could have done anything that he wanted because he is the all-powerful God. He can do anything. But let me tell you that it is a blessing to notice that when the Lord was moved to do something about sin, he exercised his power in sending men the gospel of grace. How about that? Nowhere is the power of God as visible as it is in the gospel of Christ. Think about it. When God takes a lost sinner and saves him by his grace and makes him a new creature, man, that is powerful. God could have sent us all to hell, but he instead chose to send us his love wrapped up in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am thankful. I thank the Lord that he loved us first. Just as 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Notice that Paul's message is the gospel of Christ. Make no mistake about it. There are many different gospels being preached in our day. We have, for instance, the gospel of materialism. This gospel says your worth is determined by what you have. Gain is the goal of life. Then we have the gospel of society that says, do as you please, for life is short. But Paul's message is the gospel of Christ. And Paul's message, on the other hand, says, we are sinners. And if we die in our sins, we will be lost. However, God loved us and sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. And Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And if we place our faith in him, then we can and will be eternally saved. You know, the gospel of Christ is a simple message as well. If we turn to 1 Corinthians, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, we find what is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, for I deliver unto you, first of all, what which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel. This is the good news. The gospel, what it means is good news. That is the gospel of Christ. That Christ died, was buried, and he resurrected the third day. You know, even Romans chapter 4, verse 25 states it in even fewer words. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The great apostle Paul wrote this inspired by the Holy Spirit. But Paul knew firsthand about the power of this gospel. He was a life that was changed completely by the gospel of Christ. If we remember, Paul was killing Christians. And what changed him? The power of the gospel. This fantastic and awesome power. You know why we sometimes as humans, we tend to get frustrated because the person either we love or our friend or a family member just doesn't change? We get frustrated because we don't have that power of changing people. But the gospel does. That's the power of the gospel. That's what it does. Every life that is redeemed by the gospel of grace is a life that is forever changed. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:15, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the power of the gospel right there. And Paul, he knew firsthand about this power. It is a life that becomes a thing of praise and glory to the Almighty God. Ephesians 2:10, also Paul wrote this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he wrote, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is a life that has a new description, a new destiny. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We see then that every life that is redeemed by the gospel of grace is a life that is forever changed. Some of us know about this power too. Our lives have been changed by the power of the gospel of Christ. The gospel then is marked by sovereign power. Number two, the gospel is also marked by a singular purpose. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. To salvation. It has a singular purpose. The question is, why did God go to such lengths for fallen sinners? Have you ever think about this? I mean, why did he give up his only son to die on the cross for the sins of his people? When we read in Genesis that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, in my mind, it's just so easy to think about God creating another species in another world. Why not? Why would God go to such lengths for fallen sinners? Of course, the primary answer is simply that he loved us. But however, there is more to it than that. God's plan and God's purpose in giving the gospel message is salvation. You know, if we go to Psalms 8, 4 and 5, Psalm 8, 4 and 5, one of my favorite verses of all time, the Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Still, God sent us his only son. He sent us the power of the gospel and the purpose. The singular purpose of it is salvation. The word salvation means safety, preservation, deliverance. It carries the idea of being rescued from all harm and danger. God's desire in saving sinners is to forever deliver them from spiritual death, spiritual defilement, spiritual deception, and spiritual destruction. Lest we forget, the end of all sinners outside the Lord Jesus Christ is the fires of hell. God's purpose in giving the gospel is to change man's destination in eternity and in his life here on earth as well. What a great thing this is. Yeah. The primary purpose of the gospel message is the salvation of the lost. And I don't know about you all, but I truly enjoy being saved. You know, when I was a little kid, I felt this with my parents. You know, in Mexico, They have the custom of having a little store in every corner, in every street, basically. You know, like they will have one single little store there with the basic necessities, you know, like milk, ale, what, you know, there. And I still remember that, you know, sometimes my mom or my dad would give me some money to go and buy a juice or a candy or something. And I still remember that, you know, in the middle between my house and that little store was a dog that I was just terrified. You know, I was just terrified by walking that street. So what I would do is that I would just go around that street, going to the longest way, buy what I needed or what I wanted, and then just coming back in the other street because I was afraid of that dog. But let me tell you what, when my mom was with me, I felt safe. I felt just, you know, with a great self-confidence. I learned from a young age that dogs don't mess with mom, you know, when they have their kids. Moms are awesome. And dads too, of course, but my mom was always, you know, walking with me there and protecting me. I felt so safe. And this is exactly the purpose of the gospel. When we believe the gospel, we feel safe. Remember yesterday we were talking about assurance. Assurance that we know that we are saved when we believe this gospel. This is amazing. You know, this changed our mentality. This changed our attitude. And I am grateful to the Lord that He gave us salvation, that we don't have to worry about. If you are in Jesus, you are secure in Him as long as He lives. But listen to what the Bible says. John 10:28. I give them, says Jesus. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Wow. That's the protection that we have as Christians. What a blessing we have to believe and to have this awesome gospel of Christ. The gospel is marked, we talk about sovereign power. We talk about singular purpose, which is salvation. And I want to share with you as well that the gospel is also marked by a simple plan. The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone is included right here. You know, the verse 16 tells us in no uncertain terms exactly how this gospel message of salvation is activated. Notice that it is for everyone who believes. This makes it perfectly clear that biblical salvation does not involve complicated religious rituals or ordained and elaborate religious exercises. Salvation is the product of faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And also John 3:16, of course, we read, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is by faith, but it's a working faith. It's a faith that we do what the Bible tells us to do. And this is where some of our friends in other sects get confused. They think, well, you know, if we get baptized to receive salvation, then baptism is a work. And the Bible says that it's not work. But let me tell you, baptism is not a work that we do. Completely not. It's an obedient faith. Let me put you an example of this. You know, not so long ago, my brother-in-law in Matamoros, Mexico, the Brownsville, Texas border in Mexico, you know, he was looking for some new benches or used benches for the church building over there in Mexico. And he looked on some ads on the website and everything, and one church was giving them for free. They just said, you need to come and pick them up and take them, you know, to your place. But they are free completely. So, of course, he planned on it. He rented a truck to put all of the benches to this truck. I believe it was in Waco, Texas, somewhere around there. So he traveled some hours, got them, and then crossed them to Mexico, pay, you know, the fee to cross them legally and everything. But if you were to ask him, hey, how much did you pay for these benches? He's going to tell you they were free. Even though he spent money on the guy, he spent money to rent that truck and everything, he never would have said, oh, they cost me, you know, this amount of money. It was free. But he needed to go and get those benches. It's exactly the same with salvation. It's by faith only. But we need to follow the plan of salvation that we find in the Bible. That is for everyone who believes. You know, the Bible says very clearly in Acts 2, 37 and 38, it says, now when they hear this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 22:16, the Bible says, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The gospel is a simple plan. It's very simple. When we share the gospel with the Hispanic community over there in Odessa, it's very simple. We tell them, do you believe in Christ Jesus your Lord? Say, of course, I believe, you know, in Jesus. I mean, if you believe that, if you confess that Christ is the Son of God, if you repent, then you are ready to be baptized. Why won't you just be baptized for the remission of sins? But you need to believe it with all of your heart. With all of your heart, that if you get baptized, you'll be saved. Who wouldn't want to be baptized and be done with sin? You know, and have this assurance of salvation that no matter whatever happens, especially in this area, you know, all the accidents that we hear almost every single day, just be assured that whatever happens, we're saved. We have that gospel in us. Have you believed the gospel? Have you been baptized for the remission of sins? You know, I am so thankful that the Lord kept His gospel inexpensive and easy to understand. It's very simple to understand. In conclusion, we have given a gospel worth believing and one that is worth sharing with everyone, everywhere, without shame or fear. But the questions as we bring these thoughts together are this. Do you trust the gospel of Christ for your salvation? Do you believe, you know, this gospel like Paul did? Are you sharing this gospel with everyone you know like the apostle did? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? You know, the same message that was able to save then can save now. It has the same exact power. All we need to do to see that the gospel works in power is to believe it and to share it with everyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not need modification. The gospel of Christ does not need alteration. All it needs is for those who know it and believe it to share it with those who do not know it. When we do, well, the Holy Spirit will take that gospel and He will draw sinners to faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that God would take the most important message the world has ever heard and place it in the hands of redeemed sinners? That's amazing. It's amazing that he would give us his gospel and then command us to go into the world knowing that no one is ever saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. That's amazing. How are you doing when it comes to sharing this message? Who do you know in your life that needs to hear this awesome gospel news? Why not come and pray for those and ask God to give you the opportunity to tell them about Jesus? If you are saved, then you know that you're not ashamed of the gospel. You know its power. And there is the desire within you to share with those who don't know this power. Share it with everyone. Don't be ashamed. There is no better time to get busy telling others than today. This is the lesson this morning. I hope that it has been a benefit from you as it was for me when I was preparing this message. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Before closing this lesson, I don't want to sit down before giving the invitation. This morning, if you have not been baptized for the remission of sins, and you are here this morning, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized for the remission of sins. There is no other better thing to do today than being saved. And just have the assurance of salvation. If you're here this morning and you have been baptized for the remission of sins, but for some reason you have not been sharing the gospel that we ought to do it, then we can pray for each other. We can encourage each other to share it with everyone. Let us stand up and sing the invitation song.